You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It is episode number 60, the start of an entirely new story arc. Actually, no, it's one ongoing enormous arc. Man, when we ever publish the omnibus edition of this, it's going to be 1,000 pounds. Geek me all knowing box that stay open May 4th. I'm hoping we're going to be hot as before. This rent looks hardcore. And I don't want Sith running the galaxy. Hi, how are you?
Hi, and you're talking 1,000 pounds as in weight, not as in cost in exactly. The United Kingdom, although it could be both. Who knows?
Well, we are cheap as free, always. So, our little gift to you, the listeners. So,
right.
But there you go. But we do, you know, we do actually get a little bit of money from this because, you know, by being through Blog Talk Radio. So, it's
right,
kind of
yes.
Nice.
And by little bit, he means little bit.
Well, you've put the down payment on a Lamborghini, right?
No. Yes. It was a Hot Wheels, but it was a Lamborghini nonetheless.
There you go.
And they call it layaway, not a down payment.
Oh, good ollie dream.
All right, so ollie this dream. Week we've just got one book. We got Star Wars issue number 47 to discuss. But before we
exactly.
do that...
Exactly, although Marvel is more than making up for that next week. If you stick around, you'll find out why they're making up for it next week.
Oh, boy. So, well, what have we got news-wise this week?
Well, we have lots of news. This, of course, being the first Sunday of the, you know, sort of first after the first full week of the month, which means we have the preliminary top 100 order rankings from distributor Diamond for all of the comic books, not just the Star Wars funny books. And just two Star Wars titles were in April's top 100 orders. Now, remember, this is just for print copies only. This does not count digital. But Star Wars number 46 came in at number 14. Darth Vader number 14 was at number 19. And that was followed by Darth Vader 15, which was number 24. Thrawn 3 was 48. Dr. Aphra was 71, and Poe Dameron, 26, wow, just barely cracked the top 100, came in at number 98, and that's
travesty.
An unsettling, yeah, it's a travesty, and it's a very unsettling tally. I mean, we will have an idea of how many actual copies of the issue were ordered probably about either the day that this podcast comes out or the day after, once Comic-Con crunches its numbers and puts out its estimates. But it's kind of vexing. It's a little unsettling.
Well,
and
I've asked this before, but is there any tracking done of digital sales?
We know the publishers track their digital sales. They just don't release the tallies. You can get an idea of how well a specific title is doing if you look at Comixology.com's top 10 list in terms of sales. But that's about it. Otherwise, we have no real concrete evidence. You know, if, for example, say like if Poe Dameron, you know, sold 28,000 copies in April, and that's, you know, I'm just throwing that figure out there. I don't know right. if that's what it's going to be. You know, who's to say it didn't sell 30,000 copies digitally? You know, we just don't know.
My assumption would be that if that was the case, and even though a book wasn't performing that well in print, if it was performing well digitally, they would keep producing it. Wouldn't
exactly. Precisely. And, you know, and there are some books, you know, that do track demonstrably better digitally, you know, even some of sort of the big two publishers, for example, Miss Marvel just it just kills digitally. You know, in terms of print copies, it does okay. But, you know, that's one of those cases where the publisher, in this case, Marvel, has said publicly, yeah, you know, we do much better digitally than we do in print with that particular title. All of this, you know, it frankly, you know, listeners, longtime listeners will know how much we love Poe Dameron. But I got a bad feeling about this. I got a feeling that this current story arc might be it, you know, for the series. I have nothing definitive, you know, that would confirm this. This is just my feeling, if you will.
Educated guess.
It's an educated guess. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Charles Soule enjoys writing it. I know that the story group loves telling the stories, and it's a great, you know, I don't know why it's not selling more titles or more issues. I mean, it's so much fun. But even at 31 issues, because that's how long this current story arc is going to go on. You know, if they ended at 31 issues, that's a perfect size for an omnibus publication. So, I mean, because, you think about it, with Darth Vader Volume 1, they ended it at 25 issues. And, again, and then they brought out an omnibus version, and they added in a couple other titles, couple of other issues to incorporate into that. But I just we got to start maybe steeling ourselves for the fact that this book might, its end might be on the horizon.
Well, and I have a feeling that you would find, it's interesting to me that Dr. Aphra is selling so much better than Poe Dameron, because my only assumption there, or my only idea there, would be because that character deals with original trilogy characters more often than Poe does. Maybe that's the answer for it, other than people are just really fond of the character. But, Poe Dameron is the only sequel trilogy era ongoing that we have, I believe.
No, it is. Now, it does a nice job with, incorporating throwback elements to the prequel trilogy and to the original trilogy. But I think that's one of Dr. Aphra's strengths is, she is an original character. And nearly all the characters that we get out of that series are original characters, comics created characters, but, with just enough tie in to some of the existing characters, Darth Vader, obviously being a prime example. But I think it's also the fact that Dr. Aphra is, to my mind, Dr. Aphra is essentially Marvel's ability to have fun and experiment and play.
Right.
Within the Star Wars sandbox. Poe Dameron, especially now that they're in this, events of The Force Awakens, being told after the events of The Last Jedi, it's very rigid, very structured. But that in no way should take away from how fun and how good it is.
Absolutely.
But it might just be a natural progression where they, they bring this one, sort of let it, come to a fitting conclusion. It's not like I don't think it will ever be rushed to end. I think, if it is going to end, it will be permitted to conclude. And I'm sure that, there will probably be a doorway set up for it to resume in another incarnation, perhaps
right
down the road.
Yeah, so, Black Squadron series or something.
Oh, exactly. And plus, you have to take into account that, we are, the Lucasfilm is now working on Episode 9. So, it makes sense that, they might want to sort of, not set up any sort of a debris field, if you will,
right,
with, stuff in Poe Dameron. So, but, we'll see. I mean, regardless, it's pretty much a given. There's already probably, two or three other titles in the pipeline at various stages of being worked on that we're just not aware of yet. Lucasfilm, just does not go off half cock. They, they have plans within plans. They're like spice navigators from Dune. So they see plans within plans. But we'll see how it goes. But until now, we know that we've got at least through issue 31, and that makes me happy. And I will just have to savor each issue as they come out. So
yes, we will.
We'll see how it goes. And speaking of that era, I mean, don't forget, we've got that new Star Wars Resistance cartoon coming out later this year that's going to be set, in and around, that timeline just before The Force Awakens. And, of course, I am really optimistic. I mean, because we know Poe Dameron's going to be in it, and he's going to be voiced by Oscar Isaacs, and we know Captain Phasma's going to be in it and voiced by Gwendolyn Christie. So it would not surprise me in the least, to see characters from the Poe Dameron comic perhaps make that leap onto the small screen, as it were.
Or we might even see, hopefully, I'm hoping maybe some of these story arcs dramatized through animation.
I would hope so. I would love to see, Snap and Care and more Jess and more Tally. And I really want to see some more Sura Linda Javos. So I mean, we'll see how it goes. But so it's not like, if the series does come to an end, it's not like, it's going to be gone forever.
Right.
We're going to still see these threads. So fingers crossed.
Crossed.
And of course, in terms of news, Charles Soule, who writes Poe Dameron, but he also writes Volume 2 of Darth Vader, tweeted on Saturday that the next big arc in the Darth Vader series is called Fortress Vader. And it's about how he got his fortress on Mustafar. So that's going to be kind of cool. I'm looking forward to that one as well. Should be a whole lot of fun. Anytime you mention Darth Vader and castles, it's going to be scary and probably, a little bit spine tingling. So we'll see how that goes. Last but not least, news wise, of course, Free Comic Book Day was this past Saturday. I hope you all were able to get out there and get a copy of IDW Publishing's Star Wars Adventures Free Comic Book Day issue. It was great fun. You should still probably be able to get a copy at your local comic shop if they haven't gotten rid of it all. But it will tie in directly to the release of Star Wars Adventures number 10. And, of course, the story focuses on Han and Chewie. They're being chased by Zuckuss and Forlom. Is it Forlom or Forlom? Or is it sort of a personal preference?
It's a personal preference. On Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, we call him Forlom because that's how what my brother called him before I learned how to read. So he's Forlom to me.
Well, it's a good read, and of course, we are long overdue for convening the young Padawans. So, dear listeners, do look for another young Padawan session, probably in the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks, where we will get up to date with issues 7, 8, 9, and 10. So, and
11,
even
12,
and the annual. Goodness gracious, yeah, we got a lot. We may have to do it bite sized chunks.
Right.
So. But and that's essentially. Oh, one last thing, and we'll mention this in the coming out next, later this week. Is the Lost Stars manga adaptation is being released in English on Tuesday, so you can get that through Amazon. You should probably be able to get through your comic book local comic shop as well, and you'll be able to get it at your neighborhood bookstore too. So that's adapting the Daisy. Not now. You'll have to forgive my dog Daisy. She's lording over the other two dogs. That's coming out Tuesday, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, the original Japanese language version was on line webtoons. So, yeah, Daisy agrees. Give me 30 seconds to get her out of the room. Hold on. All right, come here, goofball. Both of you, get out. Daisy, that's the wall. Don't put your head through it. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on. Everybody out. You two go there. Pepper, keep them in line. Three dog bones to chew on, and Daisy wants the one that Bo is chewing
on. Of course. So, same thing happens around here.
Sorry about that.
Three bones, and they're still fighting over the same one.
I like that that happens, and I like that the listeners get to hear that because it shows that we are a truly organic podcast.
Yes, and that we are truly not professionals.
No, totally. This is all amateurs, all of us. So. And that is it, I think, for the news. Of course, having said that, by the time we mix this and post it, Marvel will have probably announced a new Star Wars comic series. But that's, so it goes.
We'll talk about it next week. So,
always.
As I said, we just have one book to discuss this week. This is Star Wars issue number 47, which is a continuation of Mutiny at Mon Cala. This is part 4, mm-hmm. part IV. And first off, this cover, I love it. It's very sort of retro to me. I love the
You like the
composition,
the visceral competition,
yes,
of the
composition
sort of Jaws
inspired. Yeah.
You could even go so far as to say almost Phantom Menace inspired seagoing menace.
Absolutely, and you got Han looking very, very nervous in what looks like a little pod, and we know they're in a bigger boat, but it's just a really, really cool cover. I dig it a lot, this was Dave Marquez and Matthew Wilson, right?
Yes, it was Dave Marquez and Matt Wilson, and they've been doing that often for the last few issues, and we have been loving them. So, of course, as you say, part 4, and this is written by Kieran Gillen, drawn by Salvador La Roca, with the colors by Guru EFX, letters by the now Eisner-nominated VC's Clayton Coles.
Ooh, wow.
And this one was edited by Heather Antos. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. It is long overdue for Clayton, actually. He is an awesome letterer. And, of course, edited, like I said, by Heather Antos, Tim Groneman, and Emily Newcomen, as well as Jordan D. White with Mark Panaccia. And, of course, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that Heather has left Marvel, and Jordan D. White is now off the Star Wars line and is steering the line of the X-Men books, and Mark is taking over the Star Wars line. So,
nice. All right. Well, yeah. So this opens up where we left off in the last one. We're in the Mon Caladrome waiting for what I thought was a Mon Calamari ballet or opera.
Yes.
But I get a little confused a little later, and I'll tell you why. But the Moff is late for the ceremony, and General Urtia is getting impatient.
Yes, he is. He is not, as much as I like Urtia, he seems somebody who is a stickler for details.
Yes, and of course the Moff does finally show up acting very strange, and of course, if you recall, it's because it's not really the Moff.
Shh, it's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
It is, and I cannot ever remember the character's name. I know he's a Claudite.
Yeah, he's a Claudite, but it's neither here nor there. But I think this is where this issue really steps off, because it's he's introduced by C-3PO, you know, where he says, "May I present Tan Hubi, Moth of the Calamari Sector?" And this was just so great because he's walking up the ramp like it's, you know, like he's going down a photo line.
Yeah. Or a red carpet.
Yeah. Or a red carpet. Yeah. It just, you know, just, "This is wonderful. Thank you. You're all so kind." You know, and, you know, and Ertio notices this. You know, whatever is wrong with him? And Queen Trios. I love Queen Trios. I love her dialogue here. "Well, I did say he was a little vain. Maybe he's decided a little is insufficient."
Right. Yeah, thank you. "You're all so kind. I love it." And he says, "Please, please, no need for formalities. Sit, sit." And then he says, "I'm honored to more properly make your acquaintance, Your Majesty. I've heard wonderful things about the magnetite ballets of Shu-Tarun."
Mm-hmm. Her homeworld. So
okay.
This is,
and so he's just referencing something else. For a second, I thought, wait, are they about to watch a magnetite ballet? I thought this was a Mon Calamari opera. And of course, it is. It just confused me because I'm simple.
Well, you're not simple. You're not simple.
Well, I don't think that necessarily proves one way or the other. But he's basically just, I guess, attempting to show his culture.
Exactly. He's okay. Trying to fit in. So.
Gotcha.
And you know, I like how this is all drawn out. This is really gorgeous and lush,
it
very much, to my mind, harkens back to, you know, to what we saw of this in Revenge of the Sith. You know, and I like that a lot. I think it's really impressive here. So, and then of course we cut back to C-3PO again, and I think this issue is really about C-3PO being able to do his main mission in life, which is protocol,
and yet he complains about it the entire time.
Well, because that's just what he does, and
right.
But this, you know, it's just interesting. I just like, oh, R2, the Fluvian cycle, the tale of the tragic eggs. Oh, the grandest of the Mon Calamari operas, a chance to savor true art, and I cannot relax and just appreciate it. This is intolerable.
Yeah, who knew droids had aesthetic sensibilities?
And of course, the Moff is, you know, "You certainly are. Oh, little droid. A grabbed accelerator with a twist of berry dust, I think. Mm-hmm. Sir, that was somewhat showy entrance, not exactly in character. Are you the director? I think not. It's my role, and I'll play it how I choose. Now, tell me what that fish woman is yelping on about."
Oh, just like every actor. It's my role, and I'll play it as I choose. And so,
now, full disclosure for the listeners who may not know, Jeff is a professional actor.
Yeah,
so he speaks with
that.
Authority.
So I can say that. I know that of which I speak. So he asked 3PO to translate the ballet for him. And C-3PO says, you know, he's, "Oh, translating the intricacies is the greatest piece of culture on the Mon Calamari canon on the fly. Oh, the pressure." And then he says, "Why couldn't the masters take me with them?" He's basically saying, "I wish I could be with them. What could be worse than this?" Oh, yeah. We cut to them, and they're about to get eaten by that large fish from last issue under the waters of Strokiel Prime.
Exactly, because, you know, they're going after Admiral Lee Char, you know, who's imprisoned on Strokiel Prime. And I like this one as well. This is great coloring because you can tell how deep in the water they are. And just, you know, yeah, this is a clear nod to the Phantom Menace, you know, from that scene on, you know, when they're on Naboo and they're going through the center of the planet to reach Theed. But still, it's just, I like it. It works well for me. And it gives you a sense of the adventure, so much so that you have, you know, the actual, because you hear like, "Arg, arg, arg," and it's the real Moth. So, who's saying it all the time and won't shut up. And Han, "Can someone please shut the Moth up? He's distracting me. I don't have a burning ambition to end up as fish food."
This is, "Why are there actors? We're metal, we're not edible." And Leia says, "Oh, it's deep sea marine life is often luminescent, so he's looking at our lights."
Mm-hmm.
And Han says, "So since we're new, you're a marine biology, specialist in marine biology." And Luke, of course, comes to her defense. "Leave her alone, Han is chasing the light. Got it. Can you turn them off?" "Sure, if we want to crash." And Luke says, "I only need a few seconds, so get ready to close it. Chewie, come with me. I need you." So he tells him to get the sled ready. He shoots out into the water, and Han can't figure out what's going on. He says, "Okay, lights off. What difference is this going to make?" And then Luke lights his lightsaber underwater. And I love the way this is drawn. All of these shots, it's on digital page 10, where he clicks it on, and then that middle portion where he's just surrounded by the light, a tiny little dot surrounded by it,
and immediately drawing the creature right off of the ship, you know, going straight after him. And this bottom panel, you know, clever kid, and this
just
works. Yeah, this, and of course, yeah, the Moff is just speechless, of course, and Leia is just like, what? So, and in that next page, though, I really like this a lot, because when we get that upper panel where it shows the creature going after Luke, we get the inset of his eyes, and then we get the view of Luke through the teeth, through the gaping maw of the creature. You know, where you see the bright blue of the lightsaber and, you know, lighting up the water around him. And then you see Luke close his eyes. And, of course, we know he is accessing the Force here. And then, did not expect that, Chewie comes after him and pulls him away from danger.
Yeah, that threw me. It threw me, but it also made me wonder, what was Luke's plan? If Chewie shows up to save him, was Luke just planning on letting this thing eat him?
Well, perhaps. I mean, maybe he was going to pull a full-on Jonah here.
That's, yeah, maybe.
You know, if we want to make it a little more contemporary and more relevant, you know, maybe he was going to go like full-on Drax at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy. Volume 2. So,
Chewie grabs
even though
him.
It was Gamora who killed that creature.
Right. They never convinced Drax of that, though. Yeah, so Chewie grabs him, and he's got this jet sled, and he gets him back on the ship. He's trying to talk to him, but, of course, Luke doesn't understand, so Han has to translate. And he just turn off the damn saber. Oh, click. Just in time for the poor fish to just ram headfirst into a cliff. It made me laugh, made me feel bad for the fish, but, you know, gets him away from it. And then we get this great moment where Chewie, they get back in the ship. Leia says, welcome back. And Han says, hey, Leia, stay away from Chewie. And then he shakes off like a dog. Because why wouldn't he? But he's very apologetic, apparently. And Han says, yeah, that's a Wookiee thing. I probably should have warned you. She goes, yes, you should have. But it's okay, Chewie.
I kind of like that. That was fun. Because, you know, that just, again, you know, it was nice to inject that little bit of levity there. Because, you know, remember, Star Wars is never funny. Not ever.
No, never.
It's never been funny.
No.
Lies. It's always been funny. So it was nice for them to sort of pull that element into the comic book. So. But yeah, that was pretty good. And I love this, you know. Yeah, you know, it's just so much fun. So, you know, they get out of the rough spot. They get out of the bad patch and they're approaching the complex here. And then, of course, then we cut back to the events on Mon Cala. And of course, you know, C-3PO is translating everything for the fake Moff. You know, oh no, the sorceress has discovered the eggs have been relocated to the reef of pallid bleakness. There's some wonderful wordplay here too, but it is sadly untranslatable. Reef in Mon Cala preys upon a heroic figure in their early ages and is resonant with the city where, an intermission.
Drinks so, in a little conversation, and he says, I'll have to admit my favorite part of the opera season, I am something of a novice in this particular art. And 3PO's worried because how are we going to get through this intermission? Because you have to talk, and you have to know who you're talking to, what you're talking about. And, of course, the Claudite says, don't worry, I'm highly trained in the art of improvisation. We'll get through this. Feed me what prompts I need. Oh, my. And I love this page. It's digital page 17. One of my favorite pages that we've gotten so far this year is the fake Moff, not the Moff, the faux Moff, I should say. Conversing with several different people about several different things, and 3PO's in his ear the whole time, kind of like Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, feeding him the information he needs, only he's not sabotaging him. And he says, I hear the news, my favorite part is the Death Star. He said, because the Moff says, oh no, the Death Star was a minor setback, man. We've got many more, dozens. But 3PO says, I believe the Imperials would never admit such a thing, even if it were true, and let's hope it's not. Joking, of course, that we could build an expensive toy like that shows the true level of material superiority the Empire possesses. And then I love the way he gets out of the mollusk, the mollusk harvest story. This guy would make a good politician.
He would be. And, you know, again, this is C-3PO is in his element here. He is doing what he is born to do. Of course, you know, we now know, having read the events of the C-3PO one shot and, of course, in the Poe Dameron comic, you know, that C-3PO is also a very good spy master. But so, and that makes that, you know, and now having read this, you know, because, you know, we've always, you know, C-3PO has always built himself, well, I'm a protocol droid, you know, I know protocol, I'm fluent in 6, now 7 million forms of communication.
Right.
But to see him in action like this is great fun.
It's a treat, yeah, it's a lot of fun. He likes it.
It is a real treat.
Because we don't get to see it that often, especially, at least we see it more in the comics than we do most places, but in this era, we don't see it much at all. Moff gets offered crisped Inferno weed. And he says, thank you. And then, of course, General Urtia says, I'm surprised. Last time I tried to offer him Inferno Weed, he spat it out. Well, oops. And Trios covers, says, well, it is an acquired taste. Perhaps it's one he's acquired. Yes, yes, it is. It must be that. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, he's not going to fall for that at all.
Well, maybe not. We'll see. But, you know, Urtia is very pragmatic. But still, of course, you know, they're saved by the bell, literally, because the opera starts. And, of course, you know, C-3PO is very, very, again, upset. You know, I wish Masters Luke, Leia, and Han would hurry up. I can't do this much longer. I'm at my last strength. And, of course, now the Sorceress has found the 14th of the eggs, the Yoke of Light. But it's blocked by the League of the Ebony Fin. Poor Sorceress. This could be disastrous. Boom. Perfect spot for a change, you know, a change in venue, if you will, and docked. So.
And I love that they actually bloop the Moff's head.
Yeah,
give the security pass again. Thanks, your Moffness. And they actually do bloop his head.
And again, you know, in the midst of all that, we have the earnest sincerity. This is a great line because the Moff looks at Leia. Don't you get it? This is an elite base. Do you really think you can shoot your way through? Surrender now and we'll be generous. You have no hope. And I love this line from Leia. Hope is what you'll never take from us. And, you know, you read a line like that, you know, having what you saw in Rogue One and what you've, you know, read in the earlier arc, before this one in this series, you know, with the Ashes of Jedha, hope does become more relevant and resonant every time for this rebellion. It is truly built on hope.
It is,
and I like that Kieran Gillen is cognizant of that, and I like that is still playing such a strong role.
And I we haven't mentioned it, but the colors in this issue once again are phenomenal. I love the green and blue hues, very aquatic, and especially this last panel on this page. It's digital page 19 where they're getting up out of the ship. I love that the colors there and just the way everything is drawn. It's very simple, but it gets the point across, and
it does.
I really, really like it.
And it's got a really nice pace to it as well, because at no point do I ever feel that I'm sort of held back by this. You know, the dialogue works, it advances the story forward, and it enables the action to go forward.
Agreed. And so they there's a bunch of stormtroopers. You think stormtroopers really sit around with their helmets on playing cards?
That's the thing that throws me, because it's, you know, I can see the troopers in the First Order keeping their helmets on. But it just seems to me that the stormtroopers, I can't see them doing that. You know, unless it is they're actually on duty, but even then they shouldn't be playing cards while they're on duty.
Right. So either way, they're
yeah.
So and they, of course, they don't kill them. They do stun them.
Yeah, and I was a bit baffled that it looks like they're actually using real playing cards.
Right, instead of Sabacc, shaped cards.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool, but it also was like, well, that just seems, I don't know, maybe that should have been something else, you know, perhaps like, you know, like Imperial playing cards or something like that, you know, but you know,
right.
With like various TIE fighters, but that's just me. So.
And I like that the Moff says, this is frankly embarrassing. Han says, you're telling me. So they get down the hall and they realize most of the place is being, this area at least, is being run by droids, and we get a nice shot of a 2-1B droid. I really like that.
That is a cool shot, because, you know, I don't think I've ever seen the legs of a 2-1B droid before.
No, they didn't actually exist before, so because it was not a full prop
it was just,
before.
Just
it was
a torso.
Just a torso, right. And, of course, Luke has to jinx it and says, hey, and hope and luck? This is going well for once. And, of course, Leia says, please don't say that. Chewie passcode, bloop. This is also humiliating. They say, hey, you're a vital part of this rescue mission, Moff. And he says, wait, rescue mission? You're here to rescue Lee Char? You idiots. And then we have the big reveal. He says the machines are the only thing keeping him alive, and Lee Char is in bad shape.
He is not looking good at all. I mean, you know, he's almost got like that E.T. vibe toward the end of the E.T. the Extraterrestrial, you know, after he had been taken captive by the government. You know, going pasty gray. Hardly breathing, you know, life signs failing, and Han comes at Luke. You had to jinx it, and that's our
great
our cliffhanger.
Great cliffhanger,
and loving this cover. Loving
the next
cover.
Yeah, is that do we assume that's Akbar?
I'm thinking it might be. You know, Akbar, it's definitely not Raddus. You know, especially looking at the color of the Mon Cala here, so the Mon Calamari here. I'm thinking that's Akbar. So, I
But
could
yeah,
be wrong.
really great issue. I would call it a rollicking issue because we got a lot going on, and in true Star Wars fashion, we got multiple storylines being told at the same time and cut together very well. Really looking forward to seeing how this. Do we have one more issue or two in this arc? Do we know?
No, we got two more issues.
Okay,
this
good.
This is a 6-part arc. So we got Star Wars 48 on May 23rd, followed by Star Wars 49 on June 6th. And that's, of course, what's going to take us to the big, big 50th issue there. So,
all right. So, yeah. So that's. I just really enjoyed this book again. If you're not reading this one, if you want to wait for the trade, wait for the trade. But man, this is one of my favorite arcs that we've gotten from this book so far.
It was good.
Really
it was good.
It. I
it was
love
good.
That it's. I love that it is coinciding with sort of the prequel in the Darth Vader comic.
Exactly, which is funny you should mention that, because out this week, you know, whereas we just had the one Star Wars comic this past week, well, two if you count the free comic book day issue from IDW, we have no less than 4 Star Wars comics out this week. One of which, of course, is Darth Vader number 16, which is part 4 of Burning Seas, which is, you know, as Jeff just said, is the, you know, sort of the subjugation of Mon Cala. But that's going to be a good one because, you know, we should be having the showdown between Vader and what is it, Master Barr, the Jedi. But we'll see what happens there. Also out May 9th is issue 1 of the adaptation of The Last Jedi. Looking forward to that one, actually. We got part 4 of Thrawn. And then we have Star Wars Adventures number 10, which of, you know, the lead story is by Kevin Scott and Derek Charm, with the backup story by Pierre Collinet and or actually by Elsa Charretier and Pierre Collinet, featuring Lando Calrissian. And of course, the main story of Star Wars Adventures 10 it stems from the events of the free comic book day issue. And then, of course, as I had said at the top of the show, out on May 8th, which is the Tuesday, is the Star Wars Lost Stars Volume 1 trade paperback, which is the, you know, collecting the first volume of the manga, which is an adaptation itself of the superb novel Lost Stars. So definitely not going to be hurting for content, Star Wars content to read next week.
More feast than famine next week.
Exactly. I mean, it's good for us because it gives us 3 issues to talk about next on
absolutely.
The next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess that'll do it for this week. There's no Geek Supreme this week. It'll be no new one, Geek Supreme, I should say. Did you guys have a comic book noob coming out?
Not this week. No, we did Jonah Hex last week, so we got nothing this week. But so we'll be back. We'll be back next week, though, for sure.
Excellent. And as always, you can always find me on Marvin Dog Media with Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff. And this week, Taylor and I are discussing Barnyard Commandos, which is a really weird, really, really weird toy line. I can't say weird enough because it's strange. We had a lot of fun talking about that one, though. So that's at marvindubmedia.com. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at TheJeffMcGee and at MarvinDubMedia. You can follow Matt at GorillaScribe. And Matt also mans the Comics with Kenobi Twitter feed, which is Comics with Kenobi, no I in with.
Yep, that's right. Don't forget the Facebook feed, which is, you know, the with has an I in it. So it's facebook.com Comics with Kenobi.
That's it. And so that's going to do it for this week. But again, you know, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook if you have any questions or comments about this show. Otherwise, we'll be back next week. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Stop peeing!